All right, Hebrews 11 and verse 16. 11th chapter and verse 16. Don't be afraid of this Greek now. That's not going to bite you or anything else. We'll read it in Greek and then we're going to translate it and talk about all the words. All right? It starts off with nin.
They.
Kratonos.
Aregonte.
Tut. Estin. Apuran niu. Dio. Uk. Epais ke nete. Altus. Ho. Theos. Theos. Epicaleste. Alton. Did you see how good your son's doing over here reading and everything? Brett, are you reading along?
I don't have a book.
Oh, okay. Etoy Mason.
Etoy Mason.
Yar. Altois.
Altois.
Polin.
Polin.
All right. Now that sounded really difficult to begin with. But nin, that's a little old adverb of time, and it means now. All right? But now, better. Kratonos. Look at that word, kratonos. That's a comparative. But now, they desire. And are you opening the Amplified Bible too, Brett?
Yeah.
Okay. This is heavenly, therefore not. He is ashamed them, the God to be called of them. And he said, for he prepared them the city. Let's go back and look at this. Brother Brett,
yes.
Read that Amplified Bible there.
Okay.
And let's look at some things.
In 16, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is that they were yearning for a aspiring to a better and more desirable country that is heavenly. For that reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God.
All right.
Even to be surnamed their God.
All right. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, we're talking about the faith chapter of the Bible, the 11th chapter. This is the Hall of Fame of faith. This is the world series of God's people down through the ages. All right? And it says they earnestly desired, they were yearning after a heavenly city. All right? Abraham walked through this land and all he ever had was a tent. Well, all he ever had was a tent. I remember when my mother and my grandparents, all of them came out here to California. They came out to California. They couldn't find a house, couldn't afford a house, and they lived in tents. In tents. And when I grew up, I lived in a shack with a... I lived in a shack. We picked up wood off of the floating down the canal bank, nailed it together, and found enough tin to put a roof on it. And we didn't have a big enough piece of wood for a door, so we put up just a tarp flap. That's what our door was. And I was there until I was almost 10 years old.
Getting 8 alarm clocks is the sun coming up between the cracks of the building.
Well, I miss today, I still miss the rain falling on that roof. That's something. I still miss the rain falling on that roof.
If you go to my house, you'll see a thin patio for that reason.
They desire this, the heavenly city, and he is not ashamed. Look at that word, episkinete. He is not ashamed. He doesn't blush to be called their God. All right? To be called their God. Then it said he prepared for them a city. And John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. This is Jesus told them that he was going to his little church. He told his little church that he said, I'm going to go away. And what was he going to do when he went away? John 14th chapter, Brother Randall, are you over there? John 14.
1 through 3?
Yes.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
All right. Now, all of these people in the Old Testament, just think about Abraham. God promised Abraham a life and property in the Promised Land, didn't he? Did he ever get it? Nope. Never got it. Did he believe God? We talked, the only thing he ever got was a grave. He bought and paid for himself a grave. That's all he ever had in this world. But God promised them that they were going to have a promised land. All the way. Now this goes all the way through here. They were, his descendants went down into Egypt for over 400 years. Almost twice enough, just about twice as long as the United States has been in existence. They were down into Egypt. Over 400 years. God called them out of there. Jacob, when he went down there, he said, don't bury my bones here. He said, put them over there in that cave of Machpelah, over there by Hebron. Take my bones back and put them over there. I'm not staying here. He believed the promise of God. And then when Joseph died, he says, don't leave my bones in Egypt. God is going to call you out of here one of these days. And for 400 years, they believed that. I mean, he's gone. Just think about it. Somebody in 1776, if they'd have made a promise in their family, and they passed that promise down for all of those years, twice that long now, two times that long, and every one of the descendants believed it. They passed along belief and faith. They passed along the faith. Okay? Now, how much faith does it take for all those years? Can you just imagine that? They never had it. They became slaves down in Egypt, Mitzrayim. Down in Egypt, they became slaves, and all the time they believed that God was going to take them out of there. God had told Noah they were going to go down there. Told Abraham they were going to go down there. Now they're down there, they came back into the land. They did not follow God's orders, so they never received all the land, did they? Even David, as great a warrior as he was, he still wasn't able to get all the land that he was supposed to get. Solomon, as great a king as one as he was, he still didn't have all the land that God had promised them. But they believed it. And then, you know, they went downhill. The empire split, and they had nothing but trouble, all right, through here. Then Jesus comes along, and when Jesus, the Messiah, is born into this world, there was supposed to be a king of Israel on the throne. Who was he? The devil had put his man on the throne.
Herod.
Herod was not Jacob's descendant. He was Esau's descendant. The wrong man was on the throne. Totally. The wrong man on the throne. But still they have faith. And they believe. Now, in our own lives, how do you know if you're a believer today? Huh? Do you believe in heaven, Brother Brett?
Yeah.
How about David? You believe in heaven? Have you ever seen it?
No.
They never had the promised land. But you know what? Over here, they're going to get it. They're going to have to go through the tribulation period, but they're going to get the promised land one of these days, and they're going to be God's administrators of His kingdom on earth, finally. We're going to be in heaven one of these days. Last Sunday night, we talked about New Jerusalem. That was a big old place. How many? Is anybody here? Any of you guys here on Sunday night? 396,000 stories high. Billions of square feet in that New Jerusalem. And you know what? That's the one that Jesus is talking about here. Revelation 21 and verse 2. All right? Revelation 21 and verse 2. All right. 11 and verse 17 now. The trial of Abraham's faith. Let's look at this. Piste. Pros. And they no can. All right, here's the easy one. Abram. All right. Tone. Isik. Tere. Perrazimnos. Kai. Tone. Monon kene. Pros etheran. Ho. Tas. Apongalias. Ana dexamenos. Okay. Let's look at this one now. Here we have the word piste. Have you ever heard of a piston? Piston in a car. All right. For a piston to work in a car correctly, it's got to fit in there tight, doesn't it? When it gets loose, the car quits running. That reminds me of what it means. And piste, I believe they probably got the English word from this, And it means to cling to and tenaciously. To cling tenaciously. All right? Faith. In faith. All right? Abraham is submerged in faith. Everything he did was in faith now. He has offered up Abram. All right? He has offered up, third person singular, perfect indicative active. It's a finished action. All right? Perfect tense means something is completed, a completed action. Okay? When Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah, and here it stands right over here, if you look on this chart, right there is where he took him. Right there on the dome. Anybody been there? I've been there and walked right up to that rock where Abraham offered Isaac. Right there in that very place is where Abraham offered Isaac. When he went up there, he took wood, and they broke it up. So they split it. They broke up the wood. They took it up there. And by the way, while they were going up there, Isaac, what does Isaac mean?
Laughter.
At laughter. Because they laughed when God said they were going to have a child that old. All right. Isaac, he, on the way up there, he said, Dad, Papa, Abba, where is the sacrifice? And what did he say? God's going to see to it. That's exactly what he said. I know it says that he'll provide, but it says God will see to it is what he literally said. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, what Jehovah Jireh means is the Lord shall provide, or the Lord shall be seen. Up on that mountain that day, Abraham saw Jehovah. He saw Jehovah. The Lord was seen on that mountain. By faith he had offered up. Now, when he went up on that mountain, the Bible says that Isaac was as good as dead. That's it. What did God tell him to do? You remember? Abram. Go up over there to a mountain that I shall show you and offer up your son, your only son, as a burnt offering. Now, he was going to take him up on that mountain. He's going to cut his throat. That's what they did. Cut his throat and then burn him up as a burnt offering. Took the fire, he took the wood, and he was going to do it. He believed God. What did God, or Abraham, believe that God was going to do here? Now, the Lord says, in Isaac you shall become many. I will be a blessing to you in your seed. In Galatians it says that God preached the gospel unto Abraham. What is the gospel? Evangelion. It means the message. The message of salvation. The message of how he was going to save them. God preached this to them. Already told him that through your seed is going to be the seed of the woman, the Messiah, Genesis 3:15. Alright? Now, if Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain and killed him, how's the promise going to come about? Abraham believed that he would raise him from the dead. He was ready to kill him. Because he knew if he killed him, God's promise was stronger than life. God's promise was stronger than life and stronger than death. He believed that God could raise him from the dead. If he offered. He believed he could raise him from the dead. All right. He offered up, having offered him up, Abraham, the Isaac, being tested. Now, all right, present participle, passive, having, being tested. Tested. The word tested means, how many of you ever took a test? Driver's test? All right. Take a driver's test. If you get a driver's license, you have to take a driver's test. I guess you passed, didn't you? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Abraham passed the test. He passed the test. Being tested, and the only begotten, monogene, the only begotten. Now, John 3:16 says, for God gave what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What was Isaac a type of here?
Christ.
Christ. Abraham offered his only begotten son. God offered his only begotten son, and we now are saved. Now, at the last, very last minute, God says, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch him. I know that you believe me. You passed the test. Okay? He said he never held back, but continued to offer him. Look at that word. He didn't hold back, but he continued to offer him. He kept on offering, third person singular and perfect indicative active, prosetero. He kept on all the way there. Abraham never faltered back, and he said, now, Lord, what are you going to do here? You promised me. He didn't ask God. God told Abraham to do something, and what did Abraham do?
He did.
He was going to do it, and he was expecting God to work out the problems. If you know what you want, God wants you to do, do it. Simple as that. If you know what God wants you to do, get with it. Don't worry about how you're going to do it. God's going to provide somehow. He held back the one, the promises having been undertaken. All right? By the way, that word prosero, that's used, or this word dex eminos, it's used two times in the New Testament.
Ambidextrous?
Ambidextrous? Ana dex eminos. All right? It means to welcome. All right? What it really means, he believed the promises and he welcomed the idea of God asking him to offer his son. He did it happily. It says God loves a hilarious giver, doesn't it? Isn't that what it says? God likes for us to give, because when we are saved, God changes our hearts and cuts our purse strings loose, and we give to the Lord. And it says, God says in his word that he loves a hilarious giver. I'm going to tell you something. Abraham was happy to give his son. He was grateful that God was even testing him. Now, that's weird, isn't it? How many of you ever gone through trials and tests? And just barely come out by the skin of your teeth? God was there all the time. Huh?
Everybody shaking
their head. Yeah, we've been through there. All right, we've been through it. All right.
Some of us still going through it.
Yeah. He, having welcomed the undertaking, all right, middle voice, even. First aorist, participle, middle voice. Having welcomed it. 11 and 18. God's very words were in Abraham's heart. The very promise, the gospel, was in Abraham's heart. Okay? Pros. Hon. Elei. Hote. Look at this word, the next word. Can anybody say that word? In. That's just like English, isn't it? Now, you didn't have to learn anything different, and it means the same thing. It's a preposition. You can look it up on page 137 in that little analytical Greek lexicon. In Isaac. Kleistesetai. Sui? Spellermoth. All right. Pros. What do you do when you're pro something? You're for it. Aimed at it, aren't you? Pro. Pro. Pros on. All right. Toward whom it was spoken. All right. That in Isaac shall be called, he shall be called the seed. Through Isaac will be the Messiah and the promise. Not Ishmael, but through Isaac. Remember, originally, Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah had a good idea. She said, now, Abraham, listen. We're here. We're all alone. All we got is Eliezer, your servant, and maybe we'll have to give everything that we have to him, because you don't have any children. So I'll tell you what you do. Take Hagar, my Egyptian slave girl, and you marry her, okay, and then she'll have a baby, and it'll be my baby. That's the way it is. I own her, I'll own the baby. Okay? Well, Abraham was glad to accomplish that task, and he had a child. And he had a child. But that wasn't God's child. You know, that child is now a thorn in Israel's flesh, in Isaac's flesh, because he trusted in himself. Every time you go wandering off and trusting in yourself, you go the wrong way, don't you?
He listened to a woman.
That's exactly what he did, wasn't it? He listened to a woman, didn't he? All right. Now, at Bill, you know, Bill, his wife's not here tonight, so he lives through that one. I might send the tape home with him, and they won't be alive here. You know. All right. In Isaac shall be called the sperma, the seed of you. Because there is the person that was going to go, not Ishmael. And then later on, now Sarah gave him some more advice. All right, Sarah said, I don't like that woman anymore, and I don't like that brat. Get him out of my house and get him out of here right now. And Abraham said, or Abram actually was his name at that time, he said, oh no, that's my kid. And God had told him, Abram, I'm going to let you have another child. Oh, he said, I got one already. I don't need one. Draw one. That one you made, I'm going to make this one. God told him, you made that other one, I'm going to make this one. Now, Abraham, after Sarah died, he married another woman, didn't he? He had some more children. And you know what those children are? They're also a thorn in Isaac's flesh today. Everything Abraham did on his own, his children are suffering for it today. When he trusted in God, we have the promises. But we also got the problems too, don't we? We have problems with that bunch today? Anybody? Still got problems. All right. 11 and verse 19. Are you learning anything here? All right. All right. Logisomenos. Logistics come out of that. Did you know that? The word logistics. All right. Hote. Kai. Ek. Necron. Egaren. Dinatos. Hotheos. Hotem. Alton. Kai en parabole. Ekomisato. All right. Let's look at this just a little bit. I brought that Latin Vulgate today. There's a place or two in there we need to go look in into it after a while. Latin, you know, English comes out of Latin a lot, Greek. English has a very poor history of its own. It's such a minuscule language. It had to borrow from all other languages to get, so it could get up on its two legs and walk. All it was a language of a bunch of headhunters, you know, and cannibals over there. But finally it grew up and it got some Latin roots and it got some Greek roots and some Arab roots and Hebrew roots and Gaelic roots and French and a little bit of everything. All right. Well, logisimenos, that word there, we get the word logic from it. Logic or logistics. Logical. Nominative singular, masculine, participle, present, middle voice, and first aorist. What's first aorist? Tense. You remember what that one is? First aorist. First aorist. All right, that's a verb tense now. And here it's got a marriage, and this little thing right here is a marriage between a verb and a noun. It looks like a noun, it looks like a verb also. Greek is so positive that you know it, you can take one word out and tell what part it plays in that sentence. It's right there. It tells you all about it. Having reckoned or calculated, nominative, singular, masculine. So the nominative is what? Nominative case, nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. There's eight cases in Greek. Okay. In English, we basically have a nominative and a objective case. That's it. In Greek, you've got eight of them. Okay. This is a nominative case, and that's the case of the subject. This is the dude doing the acting here, okay? The subject. Get something to write a little better. Nominative, singular, masculine. Who was doing this? Abraham's doing the acting here. And it was a participle. What's a participle? All right. Participle is one of them continuing things. In English, it's like running, believing, jumping. Okay?
Did you run?
It's an action, a continuous action to something. Okay? All right. Now, having calculated and kept on calculating for himself, middle voice, should avoid. Okay? These Greek words are really beautiful. You can just tell everything about the sentence. How long did he believe? From the very time that God told him to go do it, didn't he? He believed God. If he took that child's life and burned him up, that God was going to raise those ashes back up and make him stand up and go on and live again. First aorist. From the very time that God called him, he believed at that moment. Now, this is the good thing about Abraham. He believed. Okay? He believed. Punctiliar action. He didn't have to talk himself into it or anything else. He said, God said it, I'll do it. That's simple as that. All right? God said it, I'll do it. That are because even out of the dead ones, Necron, dead ones. Necron. If you go look that up in a dictionary, you'll find that means dead people. That even out of dead ones, denate. We got a word dynamite out of that word, dinatos. All right, dynamite. Dinatos and our word dynamite comes right out of that. What's dynamite? Is that powerful stuff? Yeah. God is able. God is powerful enough to raise the dead. Why, Job believed that, didn't he? Way back yonder in the book of Job. Job was probably the oldest book in the Bible. Way back there, Job believed in the resurrection. Having calculated and kept on being that way, that even out of the dead ones, to raise up, God reign, all right, to raise up, present infinitive active, when you do something in infinitive, it just keeps on being done too. To raise him up. He was able, the God, nominee singular masculine again, from above, from where? Him indeed in a parable he obtained. Brother Brett, read that number 19 for me out of that Amplified Bible. Make it a little smoother.
Okay, for a reason that God was able to raise him up, even from among the dead, indeed, since that Isaac was figuratively dead, potentially sacrificed, he didn't actually receive him back from the dead.
All right, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. If he burned him up, then he'd raise his ashes up. Because God promised him this, and God's not going to break his promises because God's God. When God breaks his promises, the whole world will fall apart. Molten smoke. Because all of it is hinging upon God. James 2:23. Let's go see what the book of James says. Who was James?
Jimmy.
Who was James? Jacob.
Brother of
Jesus. He's a half-brother of Jesus, all right? He was a half-brother of Jesus. This is the one that, you know what, these boys didn't believe very much at first. They became strong believers. Jude was another one that wrote the book of Jude. That's another one of the boys. All right? They took part in two of those books in the New Testament. Do you have that, James 2:23, young lady? Does your husband have it over there, James?
I can barely see this.
Okay. You, like me, I can't see anything without a large magnifying glass. I carry a magnifying glass to see where I'm going.
James
2:23.
Scripture was fulfilled with which said Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
All right. Abraham's called the friend of God. Even the Muslims say that Abraham's the friend of God. To raise him up, he was able, God, from him indeed out of the dead ones. And this is a figure of speech. Now it says here, that he obtained, all right? He believed God, and it was accounted to him, or imputed to him, or calculated to him, reckoned to him, for righteousness. All right. 11 and verse 20. Talking about Isaac and Jacob here. Piste. See, we got another word here. Tie. Peri. Melonton. Eulogason. Isaac. Tone, Jacob, Kai, Tone, Esau. All right. Here we run into a little, we're going to run into the next verse, we're going to run into something that's a little bit different in the book of, we know that the writer of the book of Hebrews evidently didn't know Hebrew.
Evidently, he didn't know Hebrew. Did you know that? The writer of the book of Hebrews probably did not know Hebrew. He read Greek. He wrote in such beautiful, classical Greek. It's a masterpiece of writing, but he was a... What kind of a Jew was this guy? What we call a Hellenistic Jew. What's a Hellenistic Jew?
He's a Greek Jew, family.
That means that he was a Greek reading and speaking Jew. All right, probably out of Alexandria, Egypt. All right. Some people believe that he could have been... what was that guy's name?
Apollos.
Apollos, yeah, Apollos. All right, maybe this was Apollos that wrote this book. Anyway, this guy was not an eyewitness of Jesus. A lot of people think Paul wrote this book, but Paul was an eyewitness, wasn't he? This guy says he wasn't an eyewitness. All right. He did not read the Hebrew Bible. He didn't quote the Hebrew Bible. Right now, he's quoting the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and it is much different than the Greek, than the Hebrew. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. In faith, also. All right. Concerning, look at that. Teste kai peri. What kind? Where? How do we use the word peri in English? That word came right over in English. Have you ever heard of a pericardia infection? That's right out of Greek, all of that is. Pericardia means around the heart infection, peri, around. Okay? In faith also concerning being about coming. All right. That comes from Melo there, being about to happen. He blessed what was about to happen. What was about to happen here with Isaac. Huh? What was about to happen?
He was about to get saved.
Huh? He was about to croak.
You mean because they could kill him?
He was about to die.
He
was right at death's door. That's exactly what happened. He's about to die. He's about to leave and go into the happy hunting grounds. He's leaving this world. He's about to exit. Okay? It says, in faith also concerning being about to croak, to die, to leave this world, he blessed Isaac the Jacob. All right? Isaac blessed the Jacob. All right? Isaac blessed Jacob and the Esau. Now, he wanted to bless Esau more than he did Jacob, didn't he? But there was a trick played. All right? Jacob means what? What does Jacob mean?
Trickster.
Trickster. All right? And Isaac means laughter. And what does Esau mean?
Red.
His name was Red. Okay? Red. All right. And he was hairy too, wasn't he? Hairy and red. He was a hairy-legged, hairy-armed guy. Looked like a gorilla or something. Isaac blessed Jacob. Okay? He blessed the trickster because that's what he was. Did he trick his father, Brother Bill?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He tricked his father. He his father called Esau in, and Mama was listening. You know, sometimes a woman has to overdo the wrongs of a man. Did you know that? Now, here Isaac is, and he knows who the promised son is, doesn't he? He knows who the promised son is. It's not Esau, his favorite. Mama's favorite was Jacob, and Daddy's favorite was Esau, because Esau was a he-man and a hunter. He was a football player, Brother Brett.
Yeah.
A go-getter. He would go out there and hunt and bring his daddy home nice venison to eat, and he loved it. And he loved that boy. And he fixed it just like he liked it, too. His daddy liked wild-tasting meat. Not the little old lamb. He wanted some wild meat, okay? And he told him, he said, Esau, go out and get me a venison and prepare it for me like I love it. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to sneak around God and I'm going to give Jacob's blessing to you, Esau. Mama heard it. So Mama had to do something about this because right now he's about to bless him and this blessing is strong now. He was the patriarch, Meshpatha. All right,
paterfamilias. All right, he was the father of the family. He was a patriarch. And he was going to put all the blessings on Esau, and he was going to cheat Jacob out of his right. Okay? Now, Esau was really the oldest one, but he knew, you know, he knew who God had chosen. All right? So, Isaac's mother, she said, I'm going to go get this. You fix this up for your daddy. We're going to fix it up. You get in there real quick before Esau gets back. And he did, and she took goat hair and put it on his arms and rubbed that stinking thing all over him so he smelled just like his brother. And he went in there and he said, huh, your voice is like Jacob, but you smell like Esau. And you stink just like your brother. All right? Phil tell him, you know, well, that's Esau, all right. Can you imagine somebody that hairy and rough and stinky? That's Esau. Well, he blessed Isaac and Jacob, and Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. He wasn't going to leave old Esau out. He cried when he found out that was Jacob that he blessed. He said, there's nothing left for you, boy. I just poured it all on your brother. I'll give you a little fringes, and that's all. Why did he believe? Because he believed that God was going to honor his promises. That God was going to honor his promises. So he blessed him. He believed. Isaac may have been an ungodly buzzard in trying to bless the wrong boy. But he believed that God was going to bring about these blessings. All right, 11 and 21. 11 and 21. Here we get the word again. Pistei. Jacob. Apotheneisko. Hekaston. Tone? We own. Yosef. You lo gason. Tai. Pros you canason. Epito akron. Taste robdu. How to. All right. There's something wrong with this verse here, people. That's not what it says in Hebrew. This is what it says in the Septuagint. He quotes the Septuagint. And by the way, even the Latin Vulgate is different here than the Septuagint. It actually comes from the Hebrew. It takes the Hebrew. All right, it says here, what does it say in the Amplified Bible over there, Brother Brett? Let's look at that for just a minute. Read that number 21.
Okay. Prompted by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons, and bowed in prayer over the top of his staff.
All right. That's not what it says in Hebrew. All right. Let's go look what it says. In faith, Jacob, in the throes of death, he was dying, people. He was in the process of dying. He said, each one separately. Now, he picked out each child separately. Each one of them separately, he pronounced a certain promise and a certain blessing upon his heirs, upon the heirs of Joseph, and he blessed. And then it says, and he worshipped upon the tip of the rod of him, of his staff. Okay? It says that he blessed him and he worshipped God, leaning on the tip of his staff. Now, that's what the Septuagint says. Now, this guy was a Hellenistic Jew. Okay? What does the Hebrew say? All right. It says, and he laid up himself, Israel, upon the head of the bed. All right. What it says here, Israel prostrated himself. He couldn't get out of bed, so he just laid up and put his face toward the head of the bed. That's what it says in Hebrew. Now, in Greek, it says that he leaned on his staff, the point of his staff. He couldn't get out of bed. But later on, the Jews said that he did this because the staff were such an important thing. How did Aaron, what did he throw down in front of Pharaoh? What did Aaron throw down in front of Pharaoh? His staff. And that staff turned into a snake. And what did he live when he and Moses lifted that staff up over the Red Sea? Okay, so the Jews had a lot, they had a lot of trust in staffs. Okay, because this is very important. They say that the Jews, they would write all of their history and lineage in small letters
on the staff,
circling around the staff. Okay, so this was a very important thing to the Jews, was the staff. So they said, well, now, what he's doing here, when they translated the Septuagint, so much of the Septuagint is not translated but interpreted. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that they interpreted it. Okay? And how they interpreted it is that the staff was so important, the staff isn't even in here, in this verse. But they have Jacob dying, and he blesses each one of his sons, and he's leaning on his staff, that is his his baton of authority. Okay. Now he did have the authority, so they interpreted this just a little bit. Okay. The Hebrew says that he prostrated himself and he bowed himself on his face. It says that he laid up to the head of his bed, his pallet that he was laying on. He just went like this and prostrated himself. The Jews, when they translated the Hebrew Bible into the Greek scriptures, they said, well, let's put the word staff in there. So the Hebrew, the writer of the book of Hebrews, brought it over there because he wasn't looking at the Hebrew. Okay? Simple as that. In faith, Jacob, in the throes of death, blessed each one of the heirs of Joseph. And he blessed them, and he worshipped God. We can put the word God in there because that's what he did. He worshipped. All right, he worshipped. He prostrated himself in a form of worship and submission to God upon the akron. That word akron, akritos. In the book of Revelation, it talks about those characters over there, these creatures, these insects or whatever they was. They call them locusts. And what a locust is, akritos, it means someone that walks on tiptoes. That word akris means to walk on tiptoes. Bugs walk on the tiptoes. Spider walks on the tiptoes. Okay? That's what they do. All right? The staff has a tip on it. Okay? It has a tip on it. The tip of the rod of him. Okay? Now, of course, in Hebrew it says that he worshipped God. He laid up on the head or like the pillow of his bed, and he worshipped God, and he reached his hand out, and he blessed each of those sons individually as he was dying. He knew he was dying, and he blessed his sons individually, each one of them. He felt that God, and that blessing of Jacob's, by the way, is extremely prophetic. It's still working out today. 11 and 22. Do you see the difference in that? This is very important when you study in deep theology, okay? You pass over this in English, but in Greek and Hebrew, there is a difference. So you know one thing about it. You know the writer of Hebrews did not know Hebrew. This wouldn't have got by him, okay? 11 and verse 22. Here we have the same word again. Piste. Yosef. Teluthon. Peri. Tase. Ek. Hold on. Oh, do I should say? Tone, Huion, Israel, M, Ne, Mo, Nusen, Kai, Periton, Ostion, Altu, Enetelato. All right. Now let's go back here and look at this one. In faith again, submersed in faith, at the point of dying, teluton, all right? At the very throes of exiting this world. The throes, he's at his end. He is terminally ill. Telios. We get our word terminal from this word too. Terminal island is the end island out there. When you have a terminal illness, it means you're going to die. He was at the throes of death. He was the end of trail. He was at life's exodus, and it says is concerning the exodus.
Look at that word, Exodus, right there. Exodus. He was about ready to exit. Right up there, there's a sign up there and a sign up there. It says what? What's that say? Ekit. All right, Ekit. That comes out of Greek, which means out of it. Out of it. That's what it literally means, out of it. All right, the Exodus. He was about to exit this life and start into the new one. The American Indians, they call that going into the great mystery. Passing over into the great mystery. All right. Mysterion. Our word mysterion comes right out of the Greek mysterion. All right. The exodus of the sons of Israel, huion, that means heirs. That's not just the son. That's an heir. These are the heirs. These are the paterfamiliars, the head of these families. Each one of them was a father of a family. Okay? They were the heads. These were the patriarchs. Remember? The patriarchs of Israel. And then it said he remembered. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. We get our word memorial service from this word. And the word memory. And memorial service. What do you do at a memorial service? You remember somebody. When they die, you remember them. That's where it comes from. This, our word headstone, is a memorial stone. That's what a headstone of a grave is, a memorial stone. You put the names down there so you remember them, who they are. They've usually got the year they were born and the year they died. It's a memorial, okay? That's the word there. Emanemonison. He remembered concerning the osteon. How many of you go to an osteopath? Osteopathic medicine. Huh? Osteopath. That one that makes that's the guy that makes your bones strong. Doctor of osteopathy. All right? Huh? Orthopedic. All of these. This comes from osteopath. Osteo means bones. When you got osteoporosis, what do you got? You got problems. You got holes in your bones. Osteoporosis. Holes in your bones. That's what it literally comes right out of this Greek word. All of your medical terms come out of Greek. That thing clicks off now. Do you see that? I got it to work. I had it worked on. It cost me about $100 to fix that thing. If it works now, it clicks. Osteon. He said, concerning the bones of him. And he gave orders for himself. Don't leave my bones down here in Egypt. My bones belong over there in the cave of Machpelah. You can go over there. Well, you can't go over there. I've been to the cave of Machpelah. And there is Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. All their bones are buried in that cave, in that memorial cave. All right? He gave orders concerning the bones of him because he believed. He knew. He said, now, guys, he said, God is going to remember and God is going to take you out of Egypt. All right? And God's going to take you out of Egypt. 11 and 23. Moses and his family. Piste Moses. Genethes. Ek tribe. Trima Nanon. Hippo. Ton. Pateron. Alton. Diote. Adon. Osteon. To. Pideon. Kai. Uk. F-A-B-T-S-O-N. To. Diatagma. To. Basileos. Now let's look at this word here, these words. Moses and his parents. In faith, Moses. Okay, in faith, Moses. What's Moses mean?
Draw out.
To draw out. It also means, how many of you are cowboys? This is the term, huh? This is the term that we know about. Have you ever pulled a calf?
Pulled what?
Pulled a calf. Okay. Or if you had a mare that had a child, you had to pull the colt. It means you got to pull it out. It means to draw out. It means to give birth. It means to draw out. Okay? Now,
when Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses, she said, "There he is, there's Moses to draw out." Okay? She drew him out of the Nile, but Moses' job was to bring to draw Israel out of Egypt. Okay? In faith, Moses, having been born, Genei face, the word, our word Genesis comes from that. Genei face, it comes from Gena'o, or Genesis, Genesis. Having been born, he was a kribe. We have the word cryptic comes from this word. What's something cryptic? Something hidden. All right. He was hidden. Tre menon, 3 months. All right. People, by the pateron, by the family of him. All of them helped hide this boy. Now, what was the decree of the Pharaoh back then? Every Hebrew child, boy child that's born, you're going to put him in the river. Put him in the Nile and let the fish and the crocodiles take care of him. Okay? Well, for 3 months, Moses' parents hid him. But in the end, what happened to that poor boy? They put him in the Nile. Just like all the other parents did. They put theirs in early. Probably all, many of them took little baskets and lined them and sealed them and just let them slip off into the river, and that was the last they ever saw them. But let's look and see what it says. He was hidden for 3 months by the parents of him because they saw, third person plural, each one of them, they saw, second aorist, they kept on looking at him, that an osteon, austere, all right, astute, elegant, beautiful, citified, cultured, polished, genteel. That's what this word means. Okay? All these words. All of that. Okay? That he was polished. 3-month-old polished, genteel, austere, elegant, beautiful, citified, cultured manners. That's what this word means. All of this. He was cultured. You know what they said here is they think that he's special.
Retarded?
He's special. This child is something that God wants. Now, since God wants him, God's going to have to take care of him, so they throw him in the river. He gets the trip to the river just like everybody else. They build him a little basket, they put him in the basket, and they put him out there in the river and say, "God, now take care of your boy. You're osteon. You're cultured. You're astute. You're elegant. You're beautiful. You're citified, mannered, cultured, polished, genteel little child. You take care of God." And what did God do? Moses, this little boy, Moses. Now, God had overruled Pharaoh, is what he did. Right here, right in the beginning, he showed that he was going to be stronger than any Pharaoh. All right? First of all, Pharaoh had ordered the death of all his children. They were all supposed to be thrown into the Nile. But now this Pharaoh, the one that ordered the death of all the children, now later on Herod did the same thing, didn't he? Over there in Bethlehem. He ordered all those children killed. God circumvented Herod and God circumvented Pharaoh. Not only did God circumvent Pharaoh, but he made Pharaoh pay for the raising of this child. They drew him. Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the Nile, took him to Pharaoh's house, and she said, "Now, see if you can find a woman over there so that she can nurse him, breastfeed him." Because, you know, they didn't have all this stuff we have today. "Go find me a Hebrew woman that can be a slave and breastfeed this child." And so they got, but guess who they got? His mother. And guess what they did? Pharaoh paid her to raise him. Do you think that Moses knew who his family was? Why, they nursed him for years.
That's a little joke.
God played a joke on Pharaoh. Right off the bat. Okay? Why, Moses knew who his parents were. They knew who they were. When he grew up, and he was grown for 40 years, he lived in Pharaoh's house. He went out there and he said he saw his brothers being mistreated and beaten. And what did he do about it? Brother David, what did he do? He killed one of them Egyptians. And Pharaoh found out about it and sought to kill Moses. And Moses skipped. He had a warrant for his arrest out. I'm glad that Pharaoh didn't have Sam Paul back then. He'd have been in trouble. That was my grandfather. That was the Rooster Cogburn. The real one. The Marshal in Indian Territory. When he got after a man, he didn't quit till he brought him home. Evidently, Pharaoh didn't send a bounty hunter after him. He got out there in the area of the Midianites and found him a wife and became a sheep herder for the next 40 years. And then God called him to be a herder of those Israelites. And not they were cause to fear, all right? Because of the decree, the diatagma, the decree, the diatagma of the king. Pharaoh was a king. What's Pharaoh mean, Brother Brett?
Pharaoh.
It comes from a Greek word, doesn't it? Something like that. Pharaoh. Pharaoh means to bear.
To bear, yeah.
Yeah, to bear. I thought you'd know that.
Every
other time you knew that.
Yeah.
I know that your mom and daddy were here, so you're under a lot of pressure, see?
Yeah.
We'll make excuses. We're going to give you an A-plus tonight for all your reading anyway. All right. 11 and verse 24 is where we'll start next week. In faith, Moses. All right.
I tried to tell the other day, little rest you, that the Indian strip, the Cimarron strip, did you know that it was so lawless, neither Texas nor Oklahoma would accept it or recognize it as part of their state?
Yeah.
It was so I was reading on it the other day, and I said it was so lawless that neither state would wanted it or would recognize it as part of their state.
Well, when you go back and you read about my grandpa, which was the real Rooster Cogburn, Sam Paul, he was a marshal in Indian Territory, and he killed 17 men while they were trying to escape. If he arrested somebody and he tried to escape,
probably,
he shot him down.
All right. Might have had guns on him.
And the very words that Rooster Cogburn or John Wayne spoke in front of Old Parker were the very words that came out of my grandfather's mouth. Right there, a lot of the things that he spoke. And Judge Parker tried to hang him 5 times for killing outlaws. The last time he put him in prison, and he got a presidential pardon. And he overruled Judge Parker, the president of the United States.
Yeah,
just turned him loose. All right, and he went back and became a senator of Oklahoma. But he was a marshal in Indian Territory. That Indian Territory was a rough place.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was reading.
Kind of like East Bakersfield.
That they said they and I'd like you to know, Jim, that I'm probably the only guy you'll ever meet that's never been thrown from a horse. I've got off a few times in a hurry to get my hat.
I remember one time when you were over at the coast. You don't remember this, but we were over there team pinned against you. And you lost your hat over there.
Right there in front of 250 people, man.
Yeah.
Right upside down in the middle of the arena.
Well, I want you to go out and do something eternal this week. I hope you enjoyed God's Word. There's a lot of good stuff in it. And I hope you're learning a little Greek. I've said before that if you just come to the class, don't study Greek at home, in 3 years you'll learn enough Greek, you'll be able to pick up the Greek Bible and read it and won't know how in the world it happened. Because you're just exposed to it.
I just want to hear what you got to say about God's Word and translating.
Yeah. Well, there's some good stuff in there.
Oh, man.
Good to have you in here again, the young man, tonight. Would you mind dismissing us in prayer, brother? Would that be all right?